It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
So good to have you with us, everybody. Appreciate it. I got a nasty cold over the weekend, and last night it was horrible. I wasn't sure. My wife wakes up and she goes, how are you going to do your program? I was hacking between every other word. Anyway, it's good to have you with us. It is beautiful Monday, May 7th, in beautiful downtown Central Texas, Austin area. We're glad to have you here with us. Again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. David Kittle is going to be our guest in the Hot Topic segment. He just landed in Orange County, California, flipped on his cell phone, dialed in just in time. Thank God the plane was on time. And we've got him here. David is one of the co-founders and is the vice chairman as president of the Mortgage Collaborative. I don't think we can go to anybody that has a more unique, diverse background and perspective on what's going on in the industry. So we're going to get a state of the industry kind of talk from David Kittle. So stay tuned all the way to the end of the podcast, or to the second half, rather. And we'll go to the end with David, the second half of the podcast, as normal. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, TMBA's, the Mortgage Action Alliance. We're very proud to be a part of the MBA and members, as well as members of the Mortgage Action Alliance. If you have not signed up, please do so. You'll hear about it in Rob Van Rapport's comments in a minute. Arch MI, the creator of the innovative RateStar program, grateful to have them as a sponsor, as well as Black Knight, leading provider of integrated software, data, and analytics solutions. The Mortgage Collaborative, their tagline is the power of the network. It's really true. It is a vast network of some top mortgage companies and vendors that are leaders in the marketplace. And I think you're going to hear a lot of that perspective as we listen to David at the second half of the program. Velma, which stands for the Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant, they're a very effective mortgage marketing and email platform. And the Knowledge Coop, I tell you, Ken Perry and the folks there, they do an amazing job providing easy, fun training for mortgage lenders. If you're looking for a platform, consider Knowledge Coop. And then Lenders One, the largest and oldest cooperative, creating competitive advantages for both lenders and vendors. We're part of both organizations, both co-ops. They both have a great role in the industry, and they serve in our industry so well. So we're proud to have Lenders One as one of our newer sponsors. And then our newest sponsor, our first mortgage company, is Open Mortgage, a leading buyer of reverse mortgage loans. And for some of the top LOs looking for a market, a good place to move to, this is a company you need to check it out. Just go to openmortgage.com, check them out. They have got a great crew. And you know what's so nice about the reverse mortgage program, folks? It's an additional income, and it serves a part of the market. It's underserved and really something you should be checking out. Good income in those loans. And if your income's down a little bit, consider getting a reverse mortgage. If you work for another lender, you can broker the loan. If you're looking for a new home, Open Mortgage is a great place to be. Another special thank you goes out to Alice, Joe, Andy, Alan, and all those that make this program so possible. All right, with that, we're going to run over to Rob Van Rapport and get the MBA Mortgage Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapport. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Both the House and Senate were in recess last week, but will return this week to tackle a busy schedule. The Federal Reserve held its May meeting, where interest rates held steady. However, the Fed's Federal Open Market Committee did acknowledge inflationary pressure, which signals future interest rate hikes are coming. MBA's weekly mortgage application survey last week showed that mortgage apps decreased 2.5% from 1 week earlier, and the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage increased from 4.37% to 4.80%, its highest level since September 2013. MBA's National Secondary Market Conference and Expo will take place May 20th through the 23rd in New York City. Attendees will hear from Trish Regan, anchor of the Intelligence Report on Fox Business Network, and best-selling author Joanne Lippman. Thanks for joining me this week on the Mortgage Minute.
Dave, our project is delayed, but it's coming soon. Think heat maps and song parody. Loan Logic sponsors Market Logic's Live.
You are my fire, the one.
Bucks are on fire, the top desire. Believe when bulls say, I want it that away. The red-hot performance of the U.S. dollar over the last few weeks confirms investors' top desire for U.S. assets over the rest of the world. It puts pressure on emerging markets and underscores the challenge the European political structure and its dominant currency, the euro, have. Tell me why. The mortgage market bears remain in control, but after the dollar index builds a base above 90-70, watch out! Expect a new bull market in the dollar to point to the treasury market and say,
I want it that way.
These views are my own. Go to loanlogics.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
At the Knowledge Coop, we work hard to create training that engages and encourages our audience. Once people are engaged in training, they are more likely to stay focused and retain the information that they need to know. So here's your training tip for the week. Next time you have an important policy or bit of knowledge you need to train, do it in short clips and make sure you sprinkle it in with a little bit of humor. Video training is highly impactful, but only when done in the way we've been conditioned through TV. Videos should be no more than 5 minutes, should get to the point, and humor should be sprinkled through to emphasize the important points. Memories are more powerful when attached to an emotion. If you need help with your company's training, please reach out to us at knowledgecoop.com, and we'd be happy to assist. And that's your training minute from the Knowledge Coop, which strives for easy and fun training for the mortgage industry, powered by a smart digital platform.
If you are wondering where did Licken go, I had a coffee fit and accidentally disconnected myself from my own program here, so I just started running ads and getting this all out there. So I want to say a special thank you to Rob Van Rapport for the Mortgage Minute, Les Parker. I have to go back and listen to it. I didn't get to listen to it. And our sponsor, Knowledge Coop. Check them out. Great product. By the way, I was going to add this after Rob Van Rapport. We talk about conferences and upcoming conferences. I'll be speaking at the Mortgage Expo. It's the New York Mortgage Expo in White Plains, New York on May 10th. That is this coming Thursday. I spoke this last week at the one in Chicago. Really good attendance at these. Check them out at mortgageconferences.com. Also, May 17th in Anaheim. And it's the California Mortgage Expo. Over 1,000 loan officers will be anticipated there. And then May 22nd will be at Sturbridge, Massachusetts. It's a consumer lending conference. And those are some places for those of you who like to follow me and get in, listen to me speak. I'm talking about the consumer directed trend to consumer directness. So anyway, with that, Joe Farr, good to have you on the line. I was a little nervous there, Joe, after I got dropped. I'm going, oh, dang. So redialing in your own program once it's working. What can I say? Good to have you here, friend. You doing well?
Doing well. Thank you. Yeah. Glad I've got a little better connection this week.
Yeah. Last week it was a little painful, but anyway, it's good to have you here.
Yes.
What's going on in the markets?
Kind of
give us an update.
Prices are flat so far today. They improved. Something happened right at noon Eastern time to cause a slight market rally, and MBS prices are back to where they started end of the day on Friday. The stock market has been up a little bit. Last time I looked, it was up 175 points. Hadn't looked at it in the last few minutes, but been on a nice three-day rally. No economic data is released today, so it's nothing really to push the markets one way or the other. But like I was saying last week, I'm kind of glad I didn't have a good connection because I was going to warn everybody about all the big data that was coming out. We had core PCE, we had ISM manufacturing and services, we had the jobs report, we had a Fed meeting. All that was coming out, and none of it had any effect on mortgage rates to speak of. The economic data came in pretty much as expected. I know the headline number on the jobs report was a little short, but improvements to the prior month really created the expected net new jobs. The unemployment rate did fall, as everyone's aware, down below 4% for the first time since 2000. But some of that was due to people no longer looking for work, so it wasn't all that positive. Some of it was new jobs, others just people leaving the effort to find a new job. And the Fed meeting, as expected, didn't raise rates, didn't say or do much to cause people to think that the future rate increases were going to be much different than what they had been led to believe at the last meeting. So again, last week, what could have been a really volatile week wound up being kind of a ho-hum week. And for the week, MBS prices improved just a little bit, so mortgage rates fell just a little bit. And we did hear from San Francisco Fed President John Williams, who, while being interviewed, described the economy as a Goldilocks economy, which is kind of good to hear. It's good economic growth, strong job growth, low unemployment, you know, moderate wage growth, inflation's not out of control. It's really quite moderate. And so, we're in a Goldilocks economy. Dave, looking at this week, not a lot on the calendar this week. We have CPI on Thursday will be the most significant event for the week. The 10-year Treasury auction on Wednesday could move the market. And then Fed speakers pretty much spread throughout the week. So not a lot to really expect much change. But like last week, there was a lot to expect much change, and it didn't do anything. You never know, never quite know what might move the market and when. So need to pay attention.
Yes. Paying attention is one of those things, and people can get the update, weekly update here every week. Also, they get Les Parker's daily newsletter. That'll help them kind of sort through what's going on as well. But Joe, thank you so much. Goldilocks economy. I wonder why we don't hear more about that in the press. There's so many people that are just Trump haters that they don't like want to give him any credit for any amount of this thing turn around and say, well, it would have happened anyway. It's, you know, it's just all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's good to see. There's some good economic data. But rates are going to be moving higher. It is no question about it. So appreciate you so much, Joe. Looking forward to having you participate in the Hot Topics segment.
Sure.
So stay tuned all the way through.
Dave.
Folks, we're going to be right back after. Yes, thank you, Joe. We're going to be right back after a word from our sponsor, Velma.
Are you using one of those expensive CRMs that your loan officers won't use? If so, then give my friends at Velma a call and let them help you create a customer journey that relies on the data and not on loan officer interaction. I encourage you to consider working with Velma to create a truly automated marketing experience for your organization. Velma makes marketing automation easy. Schedule a demo today at Velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com.
Check it out. Great tool. We use it all the time for our radio podcast, as well as other communications out to our clients. So it's great stuff. Use it. Alice Alvey, good to have you here with us. How are you doing? How are you doing, Alice? Alice, are you still muted?
I am here. Hey.
There you are.
Well.
There you are.
Yeah, sorry you're battling that cold. Oh, my goodness. So we'll jump in if you need us. No worries.
I may need you to, yes.
Well, anyway,
what you got for us?
Well, a couple of things. As was mentioned, you know, Congress was out last week. So a couple of things I wanted to give everybody an update on. Don't forget the CFPB did finally publish their final rule for the changes that will come in regarding the closing disclosure. So this is the final rule as it applies to the Regulation Z and TRID and being able to use the CD as a tool to redisclose as you're coming up to closing. So there was what we called the black hole, where if you had a minor change come up just prior to closing and you issued a loan estimate, the LE now meant you had to wait 4 days before you could go to closing, which, of course, is traumatic, right? Anytime you tell your customer the closing date's not going to be 3 days away, it's going to be 4 days, you know, now everyone's pretty upset and a lot of logistics fall apart. So this is great news for the industry. It becomes effective June 1st. So last week we were waiting for it to actually be published so we could confirm the date. That now is done. Just wanted to give everybody that heads up that it's right around the corner, that final rule will be effective June 1st. Now, procedurally, will you be making any major changes? You know, a lot of companies are already running parallel, getting that initial CD out early, but you can only get it out so early. Don't forget that initial CD has to be very accurate. You don't get the same leeway on change of circumstance with a CD as you do with an LE. So, you know, some companies who are already issuing that early CD may not be making any changes. This rule just simply helps them avoid a problem in the event that there's a change just prior to closing where a revised LE might go out. So just for example, when you move from a lock to a flow, or inspection fees are also notorious for causing changes just prior to closing. So I just wanted to give everybody that heads up. The other one is there are three remaining rules for the, requests for information from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And in my opinion, the main one that is their request for comments about the consumer complaint process. Those comments you need to get in by July 16th. So I get it. Feels like a faraway date, you know, but it'll be here before you know it. So take the time to talk through how would your company want to be represented in the complaints process. The comments that are out there already, there are about 100 of them, and people are already commenting, hey, we should see it all. We're smart enough. We know how to search through the internet. You know, if somebody is making false claims, we can figure that out. And, you know, those of us in the industry know, no way, boy. There needs to be a filter before those hit the website. The only filter that exists today is that the CFPB confirms there's a relationship, but as far as the legitimacy of the complaint, you know, that's up to the lenders. So you do want to get out there and comment, because there are other consumer comments that are to the negative of what we would want to see as an industry. And interestingly enough, there's two House bills that just came out. I noticed at the end of April, Maxine Waters, House Bill 5555, and then there's a companion Senate bill. So you don't usually see both of those come out at the same time unless someone really wants to get something moving. And then so it's Senate Bill 2698. And it's called the FHA Foreclosure Protection Act of 2018. So for you servicers, this bill is important to go take a look at, because, you know, obviously it's in its early stages. It doesn't have a lot of legs, but I always get concerned or have a heads up when you see both houses, both chambers have a bill in play. Someone's going to try and get something moving and slip it in to something else. So this is all about loss mitigation efforts, and that you would have to add some serious documentation and an appeals process with the borrower before you could file your claim with HUD. So the bill is aiming at prohibiting getting paid on your FHA insurance claim in the event of a foreclosure unless you could fully document, and then it lists new documentation. So I would watch out for this one. Make sure your congressman knows that you don't need any more extension, more paperwork in the loss mitigation process. So heads up to everybody on that. Couple new Fannie Mae memos. Fannie Mae did change their definition for purchased and refi, cleaned that up a little bit for new construction and construction to perm financing. So make sure you check out that memo, because that one's effective pretty quickly here. It's effective immediately to how they define a purchase versus a refi for construction financing. It goes by the lot, ownership of the lot at the time of the first draw or first draw of financing. Make sure you read that and are taking advantage of that as you're working through refinance versus purchase transactions. It certainly helps to call it a refi in a lot of cases where your borrower wants cash out. So anyway, Dave, that's my update on industry legislation and CFPB.
Yeah, we had Beth Milstein of Fannie Mae on last week, as you know, and we have Beth coming on and her whole team this next week, this upcoming podcast. A lot of feedback came in. We want to learn more, how we want to think about getting approved, how we need more. So I called Beth up and I said, hey, Beth, lots of information here. And so looks like they're really doing a good job of getting out, and they're going to be on again. So, Alice, we'll have more questions. Get ready as you get ready for that podcast. We're going to have a lot
more.
Yeah,
I'll get my questions lined up.
Get them all lined up. Yep. It'll be good. I'm going to have our whole team on, so I'm not sure how much time there will be for questions, but we'll do our best. Folks, appreciate you being here. Arch MI is a sponsor of the program. Jim Jump has got a word for us. So without further ado, let's run over to Jim Jump, and then we'll be up with Andy Schell's segment.
Hi, David. Arch MI is happy to be a proud sponsor of the program. Today, I'd like to let your listeners know about RateStar from Arch Mortgage Insurance. RateStar makes it easy to choose what type of mortgage insurance coverage your loan needs. Quotes are delivered in seconds and represent our most competitive Arch MI rates based on the strength and quality of the loan application. That's the power of RateStar. Getting a mortgage insurance quote has never been so powerful or so simple. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, David.
Appreciate it, Jim, very much. Check out the folks and the services at Arch MI. Sure, they don't need much of an introduction. They're everywhere, sponsoring a lot of different things. We're grateful for them and their sponsorship here. Andy Schell can't be here live, but he sent in a recording. So, Andy Schell, what you got for us, friend?
Well, hi, Dave, and all the Licking on Lending listeners. I'm actually tied up this week and can't be with you live today. I'm actually working with a credit union to help them pick a new loan origination system. It's a very exciting time. But let's jump into the profit doctor segment. So last week, I started talking about margin compression. Now, margin compression means that we're making less money when we sell our loans. So now, think about this from the beginning. So the pricing of the loan is established when we enter into that lock registration with the customer. That's when we start the pricing structure. And so loan pricing is established when we lock the loan, and that is when we establish the expected future gain on sale. So now, products are priced differently, and the pricing also depends upon geographic location, mostly driven by loan size. So FHA loans have a higher gain on sale than conventional loans, and depending on what market you're in. So a higher gain on sale for FHA. So now then, when you have a product mix that shifts from being mostly FHA or even a higher percentage FHA to a lower percentage, so more conventional loans, because FHA have a higher gain on sale, when you do mostly conventional loans or more conventional loans, you end up with a lower total gain on sale. So we need to think about that. We need to evaluate our product mix. So this means that as we are starting to forecast our summer months, that if we are going to continue to have a decreasing product mix with less FHA loans, then our cash collections is going to be less. So we need to think about this. And we think about this because we all have our cash flow forecast. We've got to have our cash flow forecast that looks at all the revenue and all the expense drivers, things that make money and things that spend money. And we need to identify when we're going to spend money and when we're going to collect money. Now, one factor we need to think about is if we are selling loans on a best efforts basis to the investors, and in the summertime, as our volume goes up, so does everybody else's. That means the investors are now purchasing more loans, so that means they slow down in their monthly purchase activity. So that means a longer amount of time for us to get our money. So we have to think about that in our cash flow forecasting model. Now, if we're hedging and rates continue to rise, then that means there's going to be gains in the hedge and a lower gain on sale in the loans. So when we sell into our mandatory delivery commitment, that means that we get less cash when we sell the loan, but then we get the rest of the money from our hedge. But the problem is the cash collection from the payoffs that we enter into with our hedge transactions don't turn into cash that we can spend until we get to the security settlement for whatever month those securities are established. And that could mean we have to wait 15 days. It could mean we have to wait 45 days. So you have to know where your money's coming from. You've got to know that you've got enough cash to make your payroll. And if you've got a big gain in your securities and you've got a payroll coming up at the end of the month, you might not get your money fast enough. You've got to anticipate these changes. Sometimes you can overcome this by going into an assignment of trade versus a pair off, but that's a topic for another time. All these variables are identifiable. We can identify all the pieces, and it's actually fairly easy to model. So please, this summer, don't miss a payroll because you didn't have a cash flow forecast. So you just got to be like Nike and just do it. So open up the Excel file, start to build a cash flow forecast. If you get stuck or don't understand, shoot me an email. I'm happy to help. Andy@mbs-team.com. And Dave, that's the Profit Doctor Report for today. So back to you.
Good job, Andy. That's good information there. I mean, you shouldn't look at cash flow. Are you measuring it, monitoring it? We believe in cash flow financial prime forecasts. And if you don't have that tool, you got to have it. Get a hold of Andy. He does a great job at it. That's what I'm trying to say. Anyway, yeah, several people are calling me up and saying regularly, hey, Lickin, you sound terrible. Yes, I do. Well, so I'm going to cut it short. Let's run over to a quick word from Motivity Solutions, the KPI of the week. Then we're going to be on with our good friend David Kittle, who's sitting in an airport finding a quiet area, about ready to unmute and come on with us. But we'll be right back after this brief break. Thank you so much for being with us, everybody.
Hello. Thanks very much, David. Always good to be here. And this week's key performance indicator is application to funded cycle time. Since the arrival of TRID, cycle time measurements have obviously come to the forefront, everything from looking at the entire application to funded cycle down to sub-cycles or cycle time between milestones. Everyone wants to compress cycle time, and the beauty of this type of strategic KPI is that it can be tied to operational KPIs that track the tasks or processes within the cycle that contribute to how long or short that cycle is. So operational KPIs can be thought of as the cause, and strategic KPIs are the effect. And balancing and monitoring these key measurements really can drive performance, and this demonstrates again that what gets measured gets results. And with that, David, I will turn it back to you. Thanks very much again.
So good to have you with us, everybody. You know what? Just some people text me, what about Alan? Is he on there? And I go, yes, he is. We skipped over Alan, my bad. Alan Pollock, good to have you. Then we'll go over to David Kittle. What you got for us, friend?
Thanks, David. I knew you didn't forget me.
That's bad.
So, and I
never
feel
forget
better,
you,
by the way. So this week, you know, we received some commentary on the data readiness report that I gave last week. And so I wanted to, you know, condense it into a couple really important components with less detail. So that's what I want to talk about today. What we focused on is that MISMO. Is really important. It's a data format the industry has been working well to create and align with, and a lot of you lenders are working to become data ready. You're working to align your solutions with different vendors, where in the past you may have allowed the vendors to do the work for you. So a couple of very important points that I want to mention today, and I think you should think about. The first one is that I think you really need to make sure that you're careful with the vendors that you select to work with. And you want to align those vendors that tend to use industry standard data formats. You can easily just ask them what the data formats are. Most of them may already be using these formats, but you want to be sure of that. They will be more versatile whether you're coding a project to them or they're going to be connecting to different vendors for you. Number two is we want to make sure that you have the most recent version and they have the most recent data formats. So there's many versions of MISMO, but the most recent version is likely the version that you want to align with, especially if you're going to spend the time to do the project. You don't want to use it on old data formats. Not everybody has spent the time yet to do that upgrade. So if you can, and you can leverage the new data formats, you want to do that. MISMO, for the majority of the data connectivity, is up to version 3.4. On the back end, when you start to do the work, you want to use, if you can, an ETL tool. It's called Extract, Transform, and Load. It can be graphical, and it helps support the mapping and transformation of your data. And most of all, it's consistent and it's reliable. So in other words, as you map the data fields to your own data fields or to the vendor or partner's data fields, the consistency of that translation happens every time, and the organization and format of that data is consistent. The next item is, you know, you need to have success metrics. I talk about this a lot in a couple other segments. When you have a big project, break it down to smaller pieces. Take a look at the data you have and where the density of that data resides, and try and break it into small groups or segments and focus your project around those areas. And if you can, by all means, really try and use project management resources, especially if you can align yourselves with what those data formats are, compare them to the formats you have, and that will be a great, great process for success. Two very last items, data storage. You want to make sure that, you know, where's the data going to be stored? Is it reusable? Can you use it for BI? And finally, you want to make sure that data is kept secure. There's a lot of different ways to secure data. If you're utilizing the Microsoft or the Amazon cloud systems, they have procedures and systems in place, so align well with that. That's really all for today, David. I think it's a good recap of how to align well with data projects. If anyone has any questions or you need more information, please feel free to reach out to me. It's Allen, A-L-L-E-N, at tms-advisors.com.
Good job, Allen. That's good information as well. Lots of good stuff. Great content. Appreciate it. Folks, we're going to have David Kittle up in just a minute. He is now the next segment. We've gotten through everything else. He'll be here in just a minute. We'll be right back after this brief word.
Are you looking to reduce loan origination costs while increasing processing speed? With advanced robotic capabilities in Black Knight's Empower loan origination system, lenders can improve cycle times and lower their cost per loan. Empower's robotics can be used for automating a variety of repetitive tasks, including disclosures, third-party service orders, and much more. Learn how you can get Empower now. Visit our website at blackknightinc.com.
Yes, check it out, blackknightinc.com. Great company, a lot of products and services. David Kittle, man, appreciate you joining in. You flew into sunny, beautiful Orange County, California, my old stomping ground. You took the time to dial in to be with us. So I know we're going to have some background noise during this. It's good to have you here, friend.
Well, thanks, David. It's always good to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
You bet. David, again, is the co-founder, the board vice chairman of TMC, the Mortgage Collaborative, and also he's the president. So, David, I don't think there's anyone that has a greater understanding or probably a more diverse view of the industry. And so one of the reasons I wanted to have you on this week, last week we had Beth, who's a mutual friend of ours. In fact, you introduced me to Beth as a result of being a part of the collaborative. But you introduced me, and we got some perspective on what it takes to get approved. But on a broader issue, I would like to know your thoughts on where you see the industry at right now. And just take it wherever you want to go. What's your perspective on the industry?
Well, I loved what Alan just had right before me. You know, you're talking about the buzzword out there is compressed margins, right? Everybody knows that. The refinance boom is basically over. Rates have gone all the way up to 4.8%. And I just kind of chuckle at that, you know, being in the business for 40 years and living through 18.5% interest rates. However, that's a reality to a lot of people, especially the millennials. And it's a reality to some loan officers who have owned it in the business 10 years and have never known anything but low interest rates. So you think about that. I want to give you one perspective that actually happened over the weekend, happened in Louisville, Kentucky, where I live. My daughter's house next door to her, put on the market, sold in 3 hours for over 4% over what they listed it for.
Wow.
That's what's happening across the country. There are no inventories. So people are going out, they're getting three or four offers written, and then it's a fight for that loan.
Yeah.
So I'd like to go back to a comment your previous guest had on here, and we're talking about doing business with vendors. We call them preferred partners inside the Mortgage Collaborative. You do business with the people you like and trust. If you've got and you're
concerned about... Well, that's becoming a bigger factor.
It is.
The trust factor, and you got to like them, but the trust factor has gotten even more huge, especially when it comes to the technology side of it, as Alan's been pointing out. So,
If you're a small, mid-sized company today, you need to be inside something like the Mortgage Collaborative in a co-op, where they have great vendors that are there to help you increase your margins. You don't have to go looking for it so you can compete, because many points made on your show today, if you don't have cash... Cash is king right now, and people are, it's a merger and acquisition time, or it's a cash raise time with venture capitalists. So the smaller companies are making the decision to be acquired, or basically some of them are closing up, and that's a shame.
I do see that. Something you're doing there at TMC, the Mortgage Collaborative, is these collabs. And it is really, if I understand it correctly, it's best practices. It's getting a group of lenders in a room, and you have some vendors participating in it. And you're discussing best practices. Talk about that. I think that's a very valuable thing in this day and age where margins are so important, are so tight. And so talk about the collabs that you're doing.
Yeah, they are. Out of the Mortgage Collaborative, we call them the Collab Labs. And we basically put them together because our members ask us to do so. So think of it as taking geographically five like peer groups, five maybe small community banks. We have over 30 of those inside the Mortgage Collaborative, or five independent mortgage banks that are doing $1.5 billion a year. The CEOs and presidents get together for a day and a half. They all sign NDAs, and they not only talk about what's going wrong with their businesses they need help with, but they talk about and share their best practices about what's doing right. They're leveling the playing field and raising the water for their peers to make their competition better. And that is so unique. These are people they're fighting against every day for the loan, but they're out there trying to make their own peers and competition and members of TMC better. And it has grown now. I think we've done like 13 of those labs across the country now, and the demand for it just continues to grow. So we're really, really pleased with it. And so are our members.
Yeah, it brings a real value. I like that. That's a great idea that you guys came up with. Alice, I want to run over to you. Union Home is a part of the collaborative, and I know Bill's an active participant in that. But any questions as we're looking at the general industry? I'm going to go to each one of our participants. I mean, so we'll go to you, Joe, next, and then Alan, but you get perspective. Any questions you have for David about where the market's heading and what he sees from your perspective?
Yes. Hi, Dave. Yes, thank you very much, Dave, for being on the show. So My question's about risk, right? Obviously, as you mentioned, rates are going up, and lenders definitely seem to be taking on more risk. Do you see this continuing? What problems do you see are rising, if any, or do you think the market really is handling it well as far as how they keep, you know, taking lower scores, more non-QM products are hitting the market? I'd like to know your thoughts on that.
Okay, broad perspective there. If I could go off on a slight tangent, I did have a conversation with Fannie Mae's chief economist, a good friend of mine and ours, Doug Duncan, on Friday. And you can go on Fannie Mae's website and take a look at that. He's actually forecasting rates to be relatively flat through 2019, never really climbing a bunch higher than above 5%. So you take that, and of course, that's subject to change without notice, right? Like rates are all the time. But think about where the market is now. Economy is great. Back to your question, I just go back to say that cash is king. The market right now, the smaller companies are fighting, as you know, for every single loan that are out there. And it's almost a race to the bottom. I am hoping that we don't get back to the point where we are forced to start doing lower credit score loans to people. Everybody deserves a roof over their head, right? But not everybody deserves to be a homeowner. And we're getting back to that point where we need to be careful about our underwriting quality and our underwriting practices. Last comment you made on there was non-QM. People are looking for those investors right now. That's a hot market, and it's a diversification inside many of the small IMBs. So I think that's something that's going to grow, to your question.
Good point. Good point. Joe Farr.
Having attended your conferences, I'd love for you to take a few minutes to talk about the DMC conferences, what you try to accomplish with them, where you hold them, and you know, entice people to want to come participate in them, because they were really outstanding conferences.
Well, thank you for that. Our next one's August 20th in Chicago at the Four Seasons, and it's going to be great. To that point, our CEO roundtables, where we just have the roundtables for our lender member CEOs, are so popular we're going to have to do it twice at the same conference. But so many people attend those, and you want a diversified small group so everybody gets asked. We're going to have to split that up for 2 days. People come because of the Collab Lab. People come because we don't have 5-6 talking heads. We have breakout sessions on the pertinent subjects that our lender members ask us for. We are a lender-driven company. We have TMC Benchmark right now. Watch for this press release that's going to come out in the next 30 or 45 days. We're redoing TMC Benchmark. That's taking only 30 to 34 data points from our lender members and giving them within 30 days the feedback on what their peers are doing. They don't have to wait a year for it. It's free to our members, the ones that participate. So to answer your question, we give our lender members exactly what they ask for, and that's why the conferences are so popular.
Yeah, that's so true. But you and I have been there together, the number of them, Joe, and they have been very effective, and they're well attended, too. Alan.
Yes, sir. David, good chatting with you again as well. So, yeah. You know, I always ask you the questions about technology, and I like chatting with the folks. And, you know, I think it's important. Everyone should know that you guys do a lot of media on LinkedIn and a lot of great updates and information. But what's new with the technology side of the Mortgage Collaborative, and how are you helping align the best vendors with the best lenders?
So our vendor members, our preferred partners, came to us, the MBA annual, and they said, you know, you got all these collab labs going on. What about something for us? We put together the Digital Mortgage Alliance, and they're doing best practices in afford technology inside TMC. And they put it together themselves. We're kind of helping them run it, but it is a preferred partner driven because they asked for it. So they're getting best practices on the technology side. And there'll be some exciting things coming out of that at our conference in Chicago this August.
Yeah, that's great. I know one of the gentlemen that helped you put that together, and he said only great things about it. So if I'm a lender and I'm looking to get aligned with, you know, my digital strategy, how much of the overall digital strategy is the collaborative been focusing on? And some of it's outside of technology, but obviously technology plays a big role in it. But how well have you been helping your members to really understand what that digital mortgage transformation means?
Okay, so here I'm going to give you full disclosure. And probably people get tired of me saying this, but I can barely spell myself IT. So technology is a little bit over my head at that. But I'll tell you this, the feedback is fabulous. It's growing. More people are joining it inside, and you're going to see some efficiencies and some announcements from the Digital Mortgage Alliance come out at our conference in August. So it's doing quite well. I cannot speak to the specifics. If I do, I'll just mess it up for you. So I would rather give you a high-level answer on that.
You know, David, you talked about in some of your early comments when we first started getting going about consolidation, mergers and acquisitions. Talk a little bit more about that. And you really talked about raising capital. A lot of people talk about doing that. How many people are really having success doing it?
Sorry, I was muted there for you, David. Yeah, so one of the panels we're going to have, we're going to bring in some investors, and let me get you the exact name of it. It's going to be Mergers and Acquisitions and Capital Needs of Our Members, and that'll be something that we speak to. We're going to bring in some venture capitalists, sit there and talk about it. What are your needs? How do you do it? How do you do it best without giving up, you know, all the stock in your company and taking and giving away all the risk? So that's coming. It's important, and we're putting that panel together, and we'll be there in August in Chicago.
That'll be good. So there is capital there. The fact that you got investors willing to come to your event, participate in a panel, is pretty bold. Many of these guys don't want to show up. They want to stay behind the scenes, and they don't really want to come out and interact. They want to be engaged. Boy, I apologize. Something's going on with my voice here today. So that I think it's a great session. I wanted to also talk a little bit about margins. We had Mitch Kiter on, another good friend of ours, mutual friend of ours. And Mitch was talking, and I raised the issue because I'm seeing it's really alarming to me to see what some people are paying out in commission, especially as you see margins contracting. And it doesn't seem like there is as many on the loan originator front that appreciate this and are working with their companies to reduce costs. Give us your thoughts about loan originator compensation.
Yeah, so loan officer compensation, which I think is amazing. I go out and travel, and I was just in two very nice mid-sized independent mortgage banks here in the last 3 weeks. And they're going to hold their line to what they're paying their loan officers. It's amazing what's being offered right now. Huge bonuses.
Yeah.
People leaving.
Yeah.
I would say probably what's going to happen is in 6 to 7 months, those loan officers that are leaving for the big bonuses and the higher commissions are going to be looking for a job right back at the company they left. Okay, it's a race to the bottom. You cannot sustain it with margins being suppressed like they are in this market. So I would be very weary if I was a loan officer to leave for a big sign-on bonus with a company that just doesn't have the balance sheet to support it.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. I mean, you got loan originators out there. We're all for you making good money, but you just don't shoot yourself in the foot. We're saying this not to hurt you. We're trying to wake you up. Make sure you're leaving somewhere. Like one guy just texted me. He says, "Dave, I don't worry about that because I'm a top producer. I can always get another job. I just accepted a major sign-on bonus." He just told me the number. It's extraordinary. He says, and if they go under, I'll move over to another company because I got more signing bonuses coming in behind that. When are we going to stop feeding on our – that's just – we're just eating ourselves up. with this kind of attitude within the industry. I mean, again, want these guys well compensated. They should be, especially the better ones. But, David, this is going to end at some point in time. Your thoughts?
Well, it's beyond the pale, and it's back to the early 2000s when we started the run-up to the meltdown, right? Everybody was stealing everybody. You're going over here, I'm going to pay you more and bring it in. You know, we continue to see the cycle. It's dangerous. If you are a quality loan officer, you're staying where you are. You're not always running every 3 months or whatever it is someplace else for a higher sign-on bonus. It comes to a point, which we will all agree, and you're saying it's not worth it to pay you. If I'm had one of my three lending companies right now, I would not be participating in this. I mean, you just can't. You got to hold the line and stick to your principles.
I couldn't agree with you more. Listen, loan originators, realize that there is short-term gains, maybe, but the long-term picture is what you, if you're really a serious professional, you need to keep that in mind. David, what are some of the other trends that you're seeing going on in the industry that you think are really important that our listeners need to know?
I think, the biggest trend right now are people are looking for, it's everything we've talked about. It's nothing new. It's not rocket science. Over 40 years, I've seen it up and down. It is just doing business with quality people. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say no to a borrower. Will somebody else maybe be able to do that loan? Maybe. But you've got to be looking out for risk for your company. The company's the one that's taking the risk if you're the loan officer. You've got to be with quality investors. Of course, you're going to have the proper technology and make sure you're MSMO compliant and make sure you do the TRID right and all the buzzwords out there. It comes down to relationships, and it's the best relationships with the best people in the vendor preferred partner range or the best loan officers out there. I'm not looking to hire a loan officer if I'm an owner today that has moved around a lot. How long is he going to stay with you? I'm just not interested in the production where I'm going to have to pay him more. It causes dissension inside my company. I just say no. That's my advice. Sometimes the answer no is okay.
Yeah, and the stronger companies do not have to yield to that kind of pressure. Those that are struggling in volume, you're hurting yourself long term. There is a lot of talk about consumer direct. I want to get your perspective on the consumer direct initiative that's going on out there.
If you're a certain size company, and I'm really not sure what that size is, but it's a diversification, it's okay. It's out there. Certainly some of the larger ones have made it and made it very well by doing it. It just depends on what your overall business plan is. Are you direct? A couple of nice companies just got out of the correspondent business because the margins were compressed so much, you know, and that was kind of mind boggling to me, but they did it. And so each company has to decide what their long-term business plan is. And probably I've always just been a retail type of originator and owner, and I'd probably just stay with that. But there's nothing wrong with consumer direct. It's out there. And of course, you had a comment earlier about reverse mortgage. You know, a couple of my friends have reverse mortgage startups or divisions inside their company right now. So it's total diversification only because margins are so compressed and people are having to find a way to bring in loans. And if you don't have the cash, then you have to look to do these other things.
Yeah, what about the wholesale market? Do you see the wholesale market? And we're seeing these conferences I'm speaking at, the mortgage conferences across the nation. I'm speaking at 17 of them this year. Several under are already done. I'm speaking this week up in New York at the Mortgage Expo. These things are packed out, these conferences, and it's mostly a loan originator audience and a lot of brokers here. And I'm looking at the wholesalers, and they're all saying they're doing very, very well.
Okay, that's great. I've never been a wholesale shop, so I can't speak to it too well. Did have, you know, one for a little while. I think it's interesting. Let me go back to a perspective of a comment that I made a few minutes ago. What is the average age of our originator population? I think it's really split. You have people that have been in it for 25, maybe 30 years. And then you have the ones that have been in it over the last, say, since 2008, 2009. Then you get a real chasm in between. If rates rise higher than what Fannie Mae forecasts or MBA forecasts, how are these originators going to react to an ARM market that's coming? And I've asked this several times around the country. Do you see rates rising and adjustable rates coming back? They better be prepared for that. Can they sell index, margin, and rate increase and adjustments to people? Because millennials right now are looking for what? 5-7 years in the house, ARM markets. As rates rise, they're going to have the very, very attractive rates for qualification for 5-7 years. So it's educated.
Yeah.
And bringing on, who's following me and you in this business? I don't think we're hiring the right people, and I don't think we're training them the right way for everything that they can face in our industry.
Yeah. What's really interesting, what's going on, is with the whole focus on consumer direct, and there is a lot of focus there. It's below the surface. Not many people are aware of it, and I encourage the listeners that are looking at this. It's a way of managing costs. These companies are literally, at a minimum, 4 times net pre-tax more profitable than the traditional model. And more companies are making that announcement, listeners. And I'm telling you, it's out there and it's happening. And again, another way to handle the LO compensation, a lot of guys are saying, I'm not going to pay the increased amount, are coming back and or the higher commissions, and the sign-up bonus are saying, and these guys are saying, great, I understand that, respect that. I'm going to go out and form my own mortgage company, and it's a brokerage shop, and I have full control of my operations. So those are some of the trends I see going on, especially as I speak at these conferences. I want to go on to a couple other topics, but let you add a 2 cents to that. In fact, I'll head over to Alice for a few more questions for her next, if she has any. Go ahead, David. Last comments on that?
Well, I'd say, assuming what you're saying is true, and I believe it is, those people that can't get the higher comp that are going to start in their own companies are going to feed into the wholesale channels you're talking about. All right, because they're just not going to be up with their warehouse lines quickly, and they're going to be a brokerage shop. That's fine.
Yeah.
Then the people that are diversifying into the consumer direct products, those loan officers are trained for to take the leads in and basically sell over the phone, right? So you got two types of origination. You got two types of loan officers there, and that's a big chasm between the two to me. So I would not disagree with what you're saying. It's just not a channel personally that I would get into if I still had my company.
Yeah, it's something we're definitely seeing, and the more and more I talk at these conferences, I'm seeing more and more mounting evidence of it. Over 1,000 new companies are going to be at the Anaheim conference I'm speaking at here week after next. It'll be really interesting. Alice, any other questions you have for David?
Yes, thank you. Well, we've talked a lot about the various business channels and the numbers, and so Dave, in the Mortgage Collaborative, you mentioned the groups share information. Do they get that detail? So, you know, what are some of the other advantages of the collaborative? And in those meetings, are do you find people are that open, that they're willing to share margin, profitability, forecasting information during those meetings?
They're actually willing to share everything you're talking about. NDAs are signed. The respect is there. You have 5 or 6, no more than 6, I think, in each collab lab. They go to one person's place of business, maybe have dinner, and they're entertained at one of the collab lab participants' home. They spend the next day talking about, they bring all their company's information. They bring up their graphs. This is where we are. How are you getting a higher margin out of this particular type of loan? Here's how I do it. Golly, raises them up and makes them better. And I mean, it's just a total different concept of I want to kill my competition, as opposed to in the collab lab, I want to make my competition and members of TNC better in the markets they're in. So yes, they share almost everything with their peers.
Yeah, that is amazing. That they've had some videos on this, Alice, where you literally see them. I mean, they're like Jason Maldiato is one of those. I love that guy in Las Vegas. He does a great job and one of the leaders inside of the Mortgage Collaborative. And he literally had people out to his home. He cooked for them. And it's not just a sit-around sterile meeting. They really roll up their sleeves and get to know each other. There's a great, great bond formed by that initial first one, and others are trying to emulate that. I'm not sure if it's always working quite that well, but it is doing real well.
They're actually having, it's not just one meeting. I mean, they're having 2 and 3 follow-up meetings on each collab lab. It's not a one-time gig here. This group is formed. They're together, and they keep going on with it. So the meetings don't just happen once. They are a continual type, and then they get together for what they call the collab reunion at our conferences, and that group goes out to dinner together. So you're forming long-term great relationships with your peers inside the collab lab.
That's excellent. So valuable. Joe, anything you want to jump in here as we wrap up the podcast?
Well, David kind of touched on improving margins and wondered if you're seeing anything that you could share from a secondary perspective that people are doing to improve their margins, to make more out of what they have, and do you see people stretching in any way to take on a little more risk in order to get the extra margin?
I mean, I'll say one more thing about TMC and the time we have left. We also have TMC Direct, which we have partnered with ResiTrader, And so their platform, it's a discounted platform inside the Mortgage Collaborative. If you're a member, join it. They can help you put your loans out there. And instead of you going out and having to price for 25 investors every day, they take your loans and put them out there, and the investors are bidding on your loans. You don't have to do all your loans. You can do a small portion of it. But TMC Direct is a great way to increase your profitability and to take some pressure off your own internal secondary market inside the Mortgage Collaborative. TMC Direct. Should try it.
Yeah, no kidding. Alan, got any last questions here as we wrap this up?
No, I got to say, I just want to echo what David has said. I think the camaraderie that you create across vendors and lenders is something that you can't get anywhere else. I've been part of the collaborative in the past, and you know, like you said, David, people don't want to help just themselves, but they want to share their ideas. They want other people to share it, and they want to help each other. You know, I was part of a platform many years ago that worked on acquiring leads off of a unique advertising platform. And what wound up happening is everybody was really competing for the exact same rate, and it really came down to where one investor or one lender would tell the other lender's customer, you know, they're great. They're a wonderful shop to work with. If you have any questions, call me. I'm not going to steer you away, but you're in good hands. And they wound up doing it to each other because there was enough leads where everybody was calling and asking about each other. So you create that camaraderie, that relationship, and I think that's very important, especially where we are today in the market.
Well, thank you for that. Let me tell you, you know what, that is kind of hokey, but it's off the whole concept of Miracle on 34th Street, right? Macy's doesn't have it, so they send you down to Gibbles to get the toy for your kid.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It makes everybody better because you're taking care of the customer at that point, which is what we're all in business to do.
Right. So true. We've run out of time, folks. It's hard to believe this podcast and these interviews just go so, so quickly. David, thanks so much for landing, getting off the plane, and finding a quiet spot and being a part of this. We really, really do appreciate it. You're a great friend. Encourage people to check out the Mortgage Collaborative. And the summer conference is when and where again?
Four Seasons Hotel in Chicago, August the 20th. So the 22nd, I think. And I may be a day off because I don't have it up in front of me, but it's that weekend. So join us.
Good job.
To have you.
Yeah, I encourage you to check it out. Check out the website, themortgagecollaborative.com. Very good.
I hope your voice
thank
gets
you,
better,
David.
Hope you feel better.
I hope so, too. Yeah, and this has been one of those rough ones. But thank you so much for being here. Have a great time in one of my favorite parts of the country, Southern California. Love there, living there for, you know, 14 years. It's a great place, and have some good meetings. Look forward to talking and seeing you soon, my friend. Folks, we've had David Kittle, the co-founder, board vice chairman, and president of the Mortgage Collaborative on the phone. Good friend and a great resource. Check out the Mortgage Collaborative's summer conference. Appreciate you being here with us. Next week, we have back with us Fannie Mae, Beth Milstein, and this time we're adding her team, and we're going to be diving into it. We had so much feedback after last week's podcast where we had Beth on and talking about getting approved. A lot of interest in getting approved with Fannie Mae. So, backed by popular demand, we're bringing on and diving into greater detail. Appreciate you being here with us. We want to say again a big thank you to our sponsors, the MBA, Arch MI, Black Knight, Mortgage Collaborative, Velma, Knowledge Coop, Lenders One, Open Mortgage. Again, all of our sponsors, as well as those that participate to make this podcast so valuable. Appreciate you all. Have a great week. Look forward to having you back here next week. Have a great one, everybody.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.